Picture this. You're the only passenger in a single-engine turboprop at 28,000 feet. Your husband, your father, whoever it is up in the left seat, has just slumped forward against the yoke and gone completely still. You have never touched an airplane in your life. There is a red button on the ceiling, you press it, and the airplane flies itself to a runway. This is Radio Hangar. I'm Vector, and this is Clear Direct. Today we're breaking down Garmin Autoland, the emergency autonomous landing system that, as of this recording, has been used for real at least 3 documented times on real flights with real people aboard. It is, arguably, the single most consequential avionics feature introduced to general aviation in the last 20 years, and it deserves an honest review. Before we get into it, this segment is supported by AviationSoul.com. They make aviation challenge coins that mark the real milestones. First solo, private pilot, instrument rated, CFI. The whole journey beautifully made and built to last. AviationSoul.com. Let's break this down. Garmin Autoland is certified under the product name Autonomy, and it lives inside the G3000 integrated avionics suite. You will find it today on 3 airframes, the Piper M600 SLS, the Cirrus Vision Jet Generation 2, and the Daher TBM 940, now the 963. Very different airplanes, all turbine-powered, all flown single-pilot, all typically carrying non-pilot passengers in the cabin. That last point matters enormously. These are family airplanes, they are owner-flown, and the person in the co-pilot seat is more often than not somebody's spouse who has never spoken to air traffic control in their life, which is exactly the design target. The pitch is simple. If the pilot becomes incapacitated, any occupant can press one button. The airplane takes control, identifies the best nearby airport, plans a descent and an arrival, talks to controllers through a synthesized voice on the tuned frequency, configures flaps and gear, flies a precision approach, lands on the runway, brings itself to a full stop on the centerline, and shuts down the engine. It can also activate itself. If the system detects that the pilot is not responding to prompts, not making control inputs for an extended period, not behaving like a conscious human being, it will trigger itself without anybody touching the red button. That is the part most people don't realize. The airplane is watching the pilot the whole time. Here's what most people miss about this. Autoland is not an autopilot with a landing button bolted on. It is a fundamentally different architecture. A standard autopilot follows the flight plan you gave it. It holds altitude, it tracks a course, it flies a glide slope down to a decision height. And when something is not in its instructions, or when conditions exceed its parameters, it disengages and hands the airplane back to you. That is the exact opposite of what you want in an emergency, where there is no pilot to hand back to. Autoland is built from the ground up to never hand back. It has to handle every contingency on its own. Weather avoidance, runway selection, traffic awareness through the ADS-B and Datastream. Fuel calculation with margin, communication with controllers, reconfiguring the airplane for landing, even the decision of whether to go around and try again. All of it automatically. Let me give you the runway selection logic, because this is the cleverest piece of the whole system. When the button gets pressed, the airplane starts evaluating every airport within range. And by every airport, I mean every single public use field within a radius. The algorithm calculates from current altitude, fuel, and winds aloft. It weighs runway length, runway width, runway surface, approach type available, surrounding terrain, current weather at the field, surface wind direction and velocity, crosswind component for the best aligned runway, fuel burn to get there with reserve, airspace complexity, traffic, time of day, whether the field is reporting VFR or IFR conditions. It needs a published instrument approach, and it strongly prefers RNAV with LPV minimums, because that gives it a precision vertical path down to essentially 100 feet above the runway. It wants runway length with comfortable margin for the airplane type and the expected landing weight. It respects crosswind limits even more conservatively than a human pilot would. And here's the key engineering decision. The system does not necessarily pick the nearest airport, it picks the best airport. Sometimes that is further away because the nearest airport has a 20-knot crosswind on its only runway, and the next field over is straight down the pipe. The algorithm is optimizing for successful outcome, not for distance, not for time, for the highest probability of a safe touchdown. The data tells an interesting story here. Garmin has been gathering information from every flight hour of Autoland-equipped airplanes since certification, not just the activations. Every flight. They know what runways get selected in what conditions, how often the picked airport differs from the nearest one, how the system behaves in edge cases. That dataset is feeding the next generation of the algorithm. The airplanes flying today are teaching the airplanes of tomorrow. Let's talk about actual activations, real events. In April of 2023, a pilot of a Daher TBM 940 became incapacitated in cruise. A passenger on board pressed the red button. The airplane diverted to an airport in the southeastern United States, communicated with air traffic control in a synthesized voice, flew the approach, landed, and stopped on the runway. Emergency services were already positioned because the system had alerted them. The pilot received medical attention immediately. Everyone on board was physically unharmed. That is a real outcome. Not a simulator demonstration, not a marketing video, an actual life, possibly multiple lives, saved by an algorithm that existed because engineers spent a decade figuring out how to make an airplane fly itself home. There have been at least two other confirmed activations since, and almost certainly some that have not been publicly reported because the owners prefer privacy. The success rate, based on public information, is 100%. Every activation has resulted in a successful landing. Now, you know I'm going to give you the caveats, because a product review without caveats is just marketing. Caveat 1. Autoland is only as good as the data it has. The system relies on a current navigation database, current terrain data, current obstacle information, current airport information. If you skipped your last database update because it was $65 and the airplane was parked for the month, your Autoland just got a little less reliable. Garmin has built in generous safety margins to account for minor staleness. But this is a system that punishes neglect. Treat the database subscription as a non-negotiable cost of ownership. Caveat 2. It cannot handle every emergency, a catastrophic system failure, an engine out at low altitude with no suitable airport in gliding range, a structural failure, severe icing outside the airplane certification envelope. These are all outside the Autoland design envelope. Autoland is for pilot incapacitation primarily. It is not a magic wand that solves every in-flight problem. It is a specific tool for a specific failure mode, and you should understand exactly which failure mode. Caveat 3. It needs a runway with a precision approach, or at least a high-quality LNAV approach in a pinch. If you're flying over remote terrain, and the nearest airport is a gravel strip with no published approach, Autoland cannot use it. The system will find the best option available, but in some geographies, particularly in parts of Alaska, parts of the Mountain West, parts of northern Canada, that best option could be a long flight away. The airplane will get there, but the passenger is looking at an hour or more of flight time with an unconscious pilot in the seat. Caveat 4. The synthesized air traffic control communication is effectively one way in terms of comprehension. The airplane broadcasts its intentions on the frequency. It identifies itself. It states its emergency. It announces its diversion airport and its expected time of arrival. But as of current certification, it does not parse inbound controller instructions and negotiate with them. Controllers have been briefed on the procedure. They know what to do when they hear that synthesized voice. They clear the airspace, they stop issuing instructions. They coordinate with emergency services on the ground. The procedure works because the humans on the ground have been trained to accommodate a machine that cannot listen back. That is a system-level solution, and it works. But it is worth understanding how it works. Caveat 5. And this is the one aviation people argue about the most in the hangar. Autoland creates a psychological dependency. Some owners of these airplanes are, in practice, less rigorous about their training, their currency, their fitness, because they feel the airplane will rescue them. That is a human factors problem, not a technology problem. But it is real, and I've talked to instructors who see it in the owner-flown turbine market. The tool is excellent. The tool does not replace proficiency. And anybody who treats it as a substitute for airmanship is using it wrong. Let's talk about who builds this and where it goes next. Garmin developed Autoland over roughly a decade. The first type certification came in 2020 on the Piper M600 SLS. It was a Federal Aviation Administration, or FAA, certification milestone unlike anything we had seen in general aviation. Certifying an autonomous system that actively takes control away from a licensed pilot and lands the airplane without human intervention, the FAA, to their credit, worked alongside Garmin on this for years. It was not an adversarial certification. It was a collaboration. They built new certification frameworks for autonomous systems together. That framework is now the foundation for everything else coming down the pipe. The architecture underneath Autoland is being studied closely by companies working on eVTOL, on autonomous cargo aircraft, on advanced air mobility platforms. The runway selection logic, the synthesized communication, the flight control authority framework, the failure mode handling. Autoland is, in many ways, the proving ground for autonomy in manned civil aviation. It is the first real production example of a software system that flies an airplane carrying humans from cruise to touchdown, with no pilot input required. Every company working on the future of flight is looking at the Autoland certification package and learning from it. But it's expensive. Autonomy as a package adds roughly $150,000 to airplane cost, give or take depending on airframe and configuration. That keeps it firmly in the owner-flown turbine market for now. You will not see Autoland on a Cessna 172 next year. The sensor suite, the redundant flight controls, the processing power, the integrated avionics architecture, it all assumes a certain baseline of airplane capability. However, the technology is trickling down in limited forms. Garmin's Smart Glide, which is available on much cheaper airplanes with G500 and G3X touch avionics, will identify the nearest suitable airport on an engine failure, set up best glide speed, and fly the airplane toward that field. It doesn't land the airplane, but it removes an enormous cognitive load from a pilot in a crisis, and that is Autoland DNA in a lower-cost package. Emergency descent mode is another piece of the same lineage. On pressurized airplanes, if the cabin depressurizes and the pilot stops responding, the airplane autonomously descends to a breathable altitude without any input. That's been around longer than Autoland, but it's from the same family of thinking. Automation that intervenes when the human cannot. Here's my honest assessment as a review. Autoland is an extraordinary piece of engineering. It has already saved real lives. It is a legitimate argument by itself for buying one of the three airplanes that have it, especially if your family flies with you regularly. If I'm recommending an airplane to a pilot who carries his grandkids or his spouse most weekends and Autoland is an option on the equipment list, I'm checking that box every single time. The insurance implications, the peace of mind, the raw capability, all of it points the same direction. But it is not a substitute for airmanship. Owners of Autoland airplanes should train harder, not easier. The airplane is a partner in your safety. It is not a replacement for your preparation. And the best pilots I know who fly these airplanes treat Autoland exactly the way they treat their parachute, their fire extinguisher, their emergency oxygen. A tool for the worst day. Never a reason to be less ready for it. For the industry, this is just the beginning. The next 10 years will see autonomy move deeper into the cockpit in ways we can only partially predict today. Autoland will look primitive in retrospect, but it was the first of its kind, and it set the standard for how we certify these systems. Honest capability, honest limits, clear handoff procedures between machine and human. Real data gathered from real flights feeding real improvements. That's the template. Everyone else is going to follow it. Thanks to reporting from AvWeb, AOPE, Pilot Magazine, and Garmin's own certification documentation for the details in this segment. You can find past episodes and full show notes at radiohangar.com. I'm Vector. Stay curious about the systems that keep you flying.